Welcome to the IAM Radio Network, featuring the Choice Coaching Show, offering skilled life coaching services from youth to adult. And now, here's the relationship whisperer herself and your host, Katie Garmazon. Get ready to go. Interactive.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Choice Coaching Show. I'm happy to have you here with me and my special guest today. For those of you who have tuned in before, you know who I am, and hi, welcome back. It's great to have you. And for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I'll tell you a bit about who I am and what I do. So I'm Coach Katie Garmazon. I'm the CEO of Choice Coaching Canada, and I am a director for the IAM Radio TV Network. I'm a radio show host for the Choice Coaching. And, you know, I have a bit of a background story for you. I grew up in an abusive environment. By the age of 16, I was homeless. I lived on the streets for just over a year. And when I was 25, I realized that something needed to change in my life, that I couldn't keep going the way I was going. And so I made the conscious decision to change my choices in order to change my future. So what I did in order to do that was I picked myself apart and I made two piles, a pile of things I loved about myself and a pile of things I didn't love about myself. And when I was done, I was surprised to find out that the pile of things I loved about myself was substantially smaller than the pile of things I loved about myself. So I picked up the pile of things I loved and I put them back in myself, and then made the choice to start filling the empty spaces that were left with more and more things that I could love about myself. I found life coaching. And I started working towards getting my certification, and I loved everything about coaching. The ability to help people, the programs that I used and the ones that I created along the way it's just an amazing thing. So every Choice Coaching show, I'm trying to make it about people who have voices that need to be heard, people who have stories they want to tell, people who have, you know, been through the fires of hell and walked out the other side and found the light. So if you or someone you know has a story like that, where you've overcome difficult obstacles in your life, we'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with me through Katie@choicecoachingcanada.com and just let me know a bit about you and what you'd like to come on the show and what you'd like to say. So with that all being said, I have a very special guest with me today. Her name is Suzanne LeClaire. Now, she is kind of a jack of all trades. So for her, she does an intuitive art therapy program. And now we're going to get into that a bit more later. I'll have to explain to you what that is and how it works. She's a trauma coach, and she also does Reiki and she teaches meditation. I find that this is a great, that all of these things that she does, all of these programs that she runs, they complement each other very well. Suzanne is a very impressive person because Suzanne is a survivor of trauma and loss herself. She is a physical abuse survivor. She is a survivor of domestic violence. She was also diagnosed with PTSD, and she suffered the emotional and physical symptoms, psychological symptoms of this. So over the years, Suzanne has participated in several workshops and seminars on trauma and PTSD. She is no stranger to counseling and various types of treatment for PTSD and trauma, including timeline therapy, spiritual ceremonies. She has completed webinars, The Science of Trauma by Michelle Rosenthal, post-trauma coach and author of Heal Your PTSD. So Suzanne, to me, is a very impressive person because she has been able to overcome everything that, you know, that the life has thrown at her. And these are the stories that I think people want to hear, that I think people need to hear. They need to hear from people who have survived the things that they are currently going through themselves, you know, to find someone that they can talk to or someone who can relate to them in regards to what they're going through. So I'm going to introduce you to Suzanne now. Hi, Suzanne. Thank you for being on the show today.
Hi, Katie. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So tell us a bit about you. Tell the listeners your backstory. Who are you? what have you been through? How did you come to be where you are and do what you're doing?
Well, where to begin? I was married for several years. However, I realized that that relationship was abusive. And I was educated in cycles of violence. However, I felt trapped, like most people do, children and finances and fear and all of those things. And it came to a point where the abuse got so severe that I nearly lost my life. So then I had to make a decision. Thank goodness for good friends, because I was able to confide in someone who helped me make that decision, that final decision of leaving. And from then I began to work on myself, on my self-esteem, to find out why it had gotten so low that I would accept to be treated in the way that I was being treated. And also I noticed that during that period of time, I had let go of spirituality. I used to be quite a devout Catholic when I was a teenager, and trying to find my God and what I believed in and higher power. And somewhere along the way, I lost all of that. And so when this occurred, then I decided to go back and look into spirituality. And I had started to look towards Native American traditional teaching, actually. And then I expanded my horizons to study all different types of belief systems and just look for my truth, what I thought would be the absolute truth. And the more I did that, the more I surrounded myself with people that were good for my self-esteem. And counseling services, of course, did help as well to let me know what abuse was, because I wasn't sure what abuse was, actually.
And that's a common occurrence when it comes to people who are suffering domestic violence.
Yeah, because you get rid of your boundaries a little at a time, and then you get taken advantage of. And it's hard to reset those boundaries. So that's basically what started this whole journey here.
So when you talk about having low self-esteem, was that something you went into this abusive relationship with, or was this something that was caused by the abusive relationship?
You know, it was kind of I compare it to walking around with a broken leg. Because in my career, I had good self-esteem. I was very good at my job. As a mother, I was a very good mother. I took care of my kids' needs. But as a partner, I let boundaries slip, and that's where my self-esteem suffered. So it got worse on that end of the relationship of my life.
Okay. So now you got out of this relationship and you moved forward. Now, did you, as you were working on yourself, did you find that you were able to just easily transition into a healthy relationship, or were you finding yourself moving from one bad relationship to another?
Well, the relationships I've had following that were they weren't all abusive, but they did have some red flags, which I could say. So some things that I would notice that would cross my boundaries. So then I would address those things, and if they couldn't change, then I'd realize that, oh, maybe this might not be the right kind of relationship. So it's a lot of learning.
So you still had to analyze your tolerations, what you were willing to tolerate in a relationship that that people who are in a healthy relationship wouldn't. Things yeah. they were willing to overlook or, you know, make excuses for them.
I think it's more difficult if your childhood wasn't easier or didn't have any abuse in it.
Okay.
Because you've accepted things since you're a small child. Okay. Most of these behaviors and cycles, they research shows that by the time you're 5 years old, you've attained your values and what's normal
okay.
for you.
And so what you're saying is that statistically, children who grew up in an abusive environment are more likely to end up in an abusive relationship. So is it that you didn't feel like you fit into that category?
I would say that, I don't know how to answer that.
So, okay, did you grow up in an abusive home? Was it physically abusive?
Well, the way that I look at it is my parents were equipped with a certain skill set, and they believe they did their best,
okay.
which is how I forgave them for whatever I would consider abusive. So my childhood wasn't perfect, but I did learn some things that I recognized in my marriage and other relationships that I more easily can accept as being normal, which wasn't normal until I went to counseling to discover what the cycle of violence is and what is abuse.
Well, and this is something that I talked about in one of my earlier shows. When it came to my abuse, at the age of 15, I made a call to Kids Helpline, and I had just been, received a beating from my father. And I told the woman on the phone that I thought I was being abused, but I wasn't sure. And when I told her what had occurred, she seemed kind of dumbfounded that I didn't realize I was being abused. But when it's something that you grow up with, to you, it's normal. And in the schools, they tell you if you're being abused by your parents, you know, you have to come and tell us. But they also say there's a difference between abuse and discipline. Well, when I was growing up anyways, when it was okay to, you know, swat your kid on the butt and whatnot. So for me, I didn't know the difference between abuse and discipline. And because it had happened from as far back as I could remember, you know, you don't know what you don't know is what my one of my colleagues, Jeffrey Miller, always says, right? So, I mean, I didn't know I was being abused. And so I found out and I took action to stop it. But then I continued the cycle because to me that was normal and that was showing love. So do you feel like you kind of fall into that? Like you sought out these relationships of abuse or neglect because that's what you were used to?
Definitely.
Okay. So now you got out of this abusive relationship, which is great because not many people can, you know, not many people do. So that is huge. And then you start moving forward. You start, you know, noticing all of these things in your next relationship, you know, that aren't right or aren't acceptable. And you make the decision that you're not tolerating this anymore. How does that feel for you to know that you are growing in such a way that you are well on your way to having a happy, healthy relationship?
Well, that's exciting because that's what I've always wanted, is a healthy relationship. You know, and to be able to grow old with someone. I think that that's a really nice thing in life, and there's not a lot out there. My grandparents were like that, lucky enough to live that, and that's what I would really like to strive for, definitely.
Yeah, well, that's what we all strive for, I think. You know, we're looking for someone who's going to cherish us and support us in our goals and, you know, who are going to understand that, you know, what we need to be happy, and then we can give them the same in return, right? So, I mean, and that's what makes a good relationship, is two people who 100% and 100%, not 50-50.
It's funny that you say that, because I was just thinking while you were speaking that a lot of times we don't know what our goals are or what our likes are or what we need to be happy, because we're constantly pleasing everybody else.
Yeah.
Your husband, your children, your friends, your employer, your coworkers, you're always constantly trying to please and be who they want you to be. And I found through this journey and through these workshops that I developed that it helps people to realize, what do I need to be happy? Because essentially you need to be happy before someone else can make you happy.
Yeah, and that's true. And it's one of the first things I teach clients when I start working with them, is to be more selfish. And they look at me like I have two heads when I say that, to be more selfish. Because, I mean, we live in a society where everyone's always telling you, you know, do for others and be helpful and be kind and, you know, focus on helping others. And no one ever says, focus on you, build you, be selfish. And it goes hand in hand with the saying, if you can't love yourself, then how is anyone else going to love you? That's part of being selfish. You have to focus on you and figuring out who you are, what you want, what's your passion. You know, what do you want to leave behind when you're gone? Who do you want to be in this world? And a lot of times you're right. We lose sight of that. Now, earlier, actually, you were talking to me about people being trapped in their mind, which I found really interesting. So I want to talk about that, and then we're going to move on to your programs that you offer today. So let's talk more about people being trapped in their mind.
What I mean by that is people, you know, they work for money. They buy their house, they buy their car, they take care of their kids. And it's the same thing, day in and day out. And there's not a lot of time to use your heart to do things. It's everything's planned. You have a list. You go over the list. You analyze the list. There's not a lot of working from your heart and from your soul.
Okay.
And it's very easy to get trapped in your mind. Because when you want to do something out of your heart, sometimes you'll stop and think about it. And then you'll find a whole bunch of reasons why it should not be done. So that's what I'm talking about, like being stuck in your mind.
Well, yeah, and I call that people I find have a lot of excuses not to achieve their goals, not to try. And so in coaching, everybody, what we like to do is we like to take away your excuses and replace them with reasons why you should.
Right, and perfectionism is also an issue because people won't take chances unless they know that it's secure on the other end. So they won't jump in. And that's also being stuck in the mind.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically if they can't be 100% sure that the outcome is going to work out exactly the way they want it to, then they won't even try. In fear of failure, in fear of not accomplishing exactly what they want, that holds them back.
Exactly.
Okay, so I mean, that's a huge issue too. You know, that's not something that, you know, none of us want to go through life living for everyone else. You know, none of us, we all strive for society's idea of the perfect life. You know, two kids, a boy and a girl, a big house, a nice car, a good job, 9 to 5, you know, come home at the end of the day, you know, have your dinner, spend time with family. That's society's idea of the perfect life. But for people who think outside the box, which Lizanne and I are, the perfect life for us is everything, greatness. We want to set the most ridiculous in other people's eyes goals, and then we're going to achieve them. We're going to fight tooth and nail and do everything that we have to and sacrifice everything we have to sacrifice in order to get there. And then when we get there, we look back and we realize that along the way, we've changed the lives of many. We've helped many people find their way, find their passion, learn how to set goals and achieve those goals, you know, how to stop giving themselves excuses and start finding reasons. So, you know, living within the confines of society, it may be good for some people, but there are people who are doing it just because it's considered the norm. And they don't fit inside that box. And so they're screaming to get out. So what do you find happens to the people who are trapped like that, trapped in their minds, trapped in the box that society is created for?
Well, I've met quite a few people recently who feel that there's something missing.
Okay.
Like you said, they've sort of settled for the sure thing.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll tell you that There's something missing. They can't put the finger on it. And they're seeking. They're always seeking. They're always looking around on the internet or looking at service providers and looking at workshops and looking at, you know, what they think might be missing. I mean, I believe that everyone has a purpose. And I believe that in our hearts, we know what that is. It's just, can we break out of that societal box and achieve those things? And it takes a lot of faith and courage to actually take that step. Because most of the time, the people you've surrounded yourself with are content in the box. And you don't look, you don't really fit in with them if you want to be outside that box.
Yeah, it's true, but you wear this mask, right? You play this role. It's like you're an amazing actor, because for this many years, for this period of time, you've been an amazing actor, pretending like you love your life and you know, you love everything that you have, and you know, you love it inside the box, but when all actuality, you're screaming to get out.
Yeah. And a lot of times, people will, you know, after work, have a few beers or have a cigarette or whatever to get outside of their mind, because they just want that freedom. So yeah, I do see a lot of that.
And so, do your workshops help people get out of the prison that is their mind?
I developed a series. My first series is 8 workshops. It's called The Art of Letting Go.
Okay.
So, series basically is to help you let go of things that don't serve your higher purpose. So I'll run through different things like self-esteem, workshops, uncovering anger. Because a lot of people have, like you said, suppressed anger. Or, you know, they're trying to let people around them know that they're happy with their little box. But really, they're not. And they hide those things. And they don't really know that they're upset about things. So I have a workshop to help uncover some anger. And then I have a stress workshop to help people deal with stress.
So it teaches them how to eliminate the stress, how to reduce it, how to deal with it on the spot.
How to reduce it.
Okay.
And then I also have workshops that help you discover your spirit guides, if you believe in that, or be able to more listen to your intuition, to be more open. Also, goal setting is another workshop. And then Tree of Life teaching and a nature workshop.
Okay.
Because, you know, taking the time to go out into nature is important. And in our quick, fast lives, we don't really have time for that.
Okay.
It's kind of a loss.
It's not that we don't have time. I think it's that we don't make the time. Again, we come back to the excuses instead of reasons. There's a million excuses why we can't get outside. So I'm guessing that your program gives them a reason to.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'll have them collect things from the walk that they've had or the hike, and then create something out of that. Create an art piece. Discovered that while people take all of these 8 workshops, that they will open doors that they've closed. You know how you go through life and you have a goal, but then you have a duty and a responsibility. So you leave that goal aside and you go into something else. Then you have another goal and the same thing happens and it's repetitive through your lifetime. This program helps you to go back to the beginning and look at what doors you've closed. And maybe in there you discover a door you might want to open again.
Okay.
A lot of times, for example, people who used to draw, or used to paint, or used to play music, you know, they've set those things aside. And all of a sudden, they've rediscovered their joy, which is great.
That's great. That sounds like an amazing program. So let's talk a bit about, let's touch down on your trauma coaching first, before we talk about how you develop your art program. You are a certified trauma coach. Why trauma coaching?
I chose trauma coaching because I find that it's important it's very, very difficult to get out of the cycle of violence. Statistics show that most women or men return to the relationship. And they have a lack of support system because people don't understand. And they get judged and they get ridiculed. And they just don't know how to get out. And it just seems like a deeper and deeper hole.
Yeah, okay.
And even counseling, if you go to counseling, you know, you have your appointment and 2 weeks later you have your appointment.
Yeah.
In between is where you need something else.
Support, motivation, someone to keep you on track.
Yes, because in essence, you've alienated everybody else and you only have the abuser left.
Yeah, well, and that's something the abuser does, right?
That's right.
When you get into a relationship with an abuser, they do it for you. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, I alienated everyone, but you didn't. Your abuser did. They're very sneaky and manipulative, and they have the ability to, I mean, like to kind of create a distance between you and every single person in your life. So that at the end of the day, all you have left is your abuser, and then you can get into the threats they make and how they keep you there. What you'll have to come back on the show and we'll do a whole topic just on domestic violence. But okay, so now as a trauma coach, you work with violent or victims of sexual abuse, you work with victims of domestic abuse, you work with victims of stalking, say kidnapping, because these are all traumatic events, right? Or someone who's lost like a parent they were really close to, that's traumatic, you know, all of these.
Yes, all of those things are trauma. It doesn't have to be a specific kind of trauma. It's PTSD that I enjoy working with.
Okay.
I was diagnosed with PTSD, and I had to do different things to get myself out of that.
Okay.
Because I did go to the psychiatrist, and, you know, I didn't want to go down the prescription route.
Yeah.
I wanted to get out of my predicament through spirituality, and, you know, I felt like I had the strength to do that.
Okay.
If I worked at it, and that's what I want to help people with.
Yeah.
Because everyone has the strength to heal themselves.
Yeah, I was just going
to
comment on that. Absolutely.
It's just that we lost touch with ourselves, with everybody else, and we just feel so alone that the prescription might be easier.
It is quicker, easier. Yeah. I mean, for some of us, we're not talking about people who are suffering from, you know, a chemical imbalance that causes depression and things like that. We're talking about people who have suffered traumas and, you know, they are capable of overcoming it. They just don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. And so, Lizanne, what you're saying is that you have a personal relationship with trauma coaching, and that's why you've chosen it.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Okay, so now when you work with trauma victims, you find that they're apprehensive to hear what you're saying and try to take the necessary steps to overcome this?
I think that when you're working with PTSD, it's important to deal with what is going on now and how to move forward. A lot of people
Absolutely.
Stay stuck in the event or the past
yeah.
and repeat it over and over.
Yeah.
But I think that if you could start from the day you step forward to get assistance
yeah.
and what you have, what tools you have right now.
And that's what coaching is, guys. Coaching is not about focusing on the past and what you've been through. Coaching is about moving forward, taking, you know, those steps forward to creating the life you want, to having the life you want. And that's one of my favorite things about coaching. It's why I chose coaching as my specialty. Now, we are going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to learn more about how Lizanne created her art program and all of the great things that she's doing within her community.
Oh,
Hey, amazing listeners. Thanks for listening to the I Am Radio TV Network. We are thrilled to have you with us. Are you potentially looking to step it up this year in your own business? And are you a coach, an author, or a speaker that could utilize that platform that we offer to provide you with a show and be a partner in our network? We have three levels of participation. We have the platinum level, which also is involved with a phenomenal mastermind once a month. We have the gold level, and we have the silver level. If you would like more information on our levels of participation, and if you feel you're ready to take that next step and really boost your business and make an investment in you that's going to make a massive difference in your business, then please reach out and contact us. We'd be very happy to get back to you and send information to you for you to review. And once again, we thank you for being with us today and listening to the I Am Network.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the show. So before we went to commercial break, we were talking with Lizanne LeClaire about the program that she has created and that she's running in the community. So now I want to talk about your intuitive art therapy program. So now this I find very interesting because there are art programs, but yours is an intuitive art therapy program. So explain to me why you've called yours an intuitive art therapy program, and how is it different from other art therapy programs that are out there today?
Well, intuitive art is different from art therapy because we are using our intuition. Also, I like to use spirituality as a component to my workshop because I believe that if you are seeking healing, you need to heal all three of your bodies, so your physical, emotional, and your spiritual body, all at the same time. Because essentially that's what we are made of. You can't just heal one or two parts. So I've developed the program to incorporate spirituality and art, and also addressing self-esteem or anger or stress, whichever workshop we're doing. And I use different art modalities so that every session is a different art medium. You don't need to be an expert in any medium. You just need to be able to be creative.
Okay, so you don't actually have to be able to paint or draw or mold?
Not at all.
Not at all.
So that's a little bit of, that actually is a huge difference between art therapy. Also color is another difference because intuitive art, you know, it's more a feeling. So you pick the colors that call to you. And how you feel, sometimes, you know, people think red normally is anger,
yeah,
for example. But, you know, for somebody else, it could be joy. You know, I don't analyze the colors people are using because
okay,
it's individual.
Okay, so in art therapy, they analyze the colors that people choose?
Yeah, there's a philosophy of colors.
Yeah, I've actually read it.
So, yeah, but I don't pay much attention to that.
Okay.
Mostly, I am letting you be intuitive, and it gives you insight. So, let's say I'll tell you how a workshop works. So, for 20 minutes, I'll have a presentation about self-esteem, let's say. And then we'll talk about spirituality and how self-esteem is detrimental if you have poor self-esteem and how to build it up.
Okay.
And then the next hour and a half, we'll be doing the art.
Okay.
And at the end, we'll have a sharing circle. And those who wish to share their piece, that's where you hear the insightfulness.
Okay, why they chose
work.
The red or
right.
The green or the blue, what it was saying to them. So they get like, they'll tell you, like, I felt like the red because of this, and I felt like the blue was right because of this, and things like
exactly.
That.
Wow. I had a young boy, for example, he was approximately 13 years old. You know, his mother dropped him off and his arms were crossed and he was not happy about being there, but he was sent there
okay.
To do some anger workshop. Okay. And, you know, he was not happy. And he sat in the class and, you know, listened to my talk and participated wonderfully. He made the most beautiful picture of a beach, a beautiful palm tree, a beautiful sun, clouds in the sky, birds flying.
Huh.
And he said, this is my anger picture.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so when we sat in the circle, he shared exactly how the sand, the tree, the sun represented his anger. And he could describe him angry. And, you know, there's usually a support worker when I work with young kids as well. You know, they pointed out that they've never heard this young man express himself like that. Mm-hmm. So it was his own discovery, not someone telling him, you know, this is what your issue is.
Yeah.
So I find that very interesting.
Now, did he enjoy the workshop? Like, really enjoy it? Did he have good things to say about it when it was done? Or?
Yes, he was very talkative and, you know, thanked his mother for sending him there. So, yeah, it was good.
And so let's talk more about that. You do have an intuitive art therapy program for youth, geared specifically to youth, right?
Yes.
Okay, so how does that differ from the program that you have originally?
Well, I just adapt the program to different age groups.
Okay.
So basically, this program can work if you're 5 years old, and it can work if you're 99 years old.
Okay.
It's just the way that I present it is a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
For developmental purposes. Also, I've done the workshops for people with developmental delays or autism and different issues. So it really is very versatile, and it works for everyone who wants to put in a good effort into bettering their lives.
Well, I think everybody wants to put an effort into bettering their life. I think that a lot of us are just scared of what that would mean. What does my life look like without trauma, without stress, without anxiety, without my low self-esteem? When it's such a huge part of who we are and the way we live, changing that could very well mean changing everything. And we as a race, as people, we're scared of that. We're afraid of this change, right? And I know in coaching, we don't use the word change. We use the word evolve, because evolution is an inevitability, right? But, you know, a lot of people are afraid of that. So, I mean, if you have somebody who tells you, let's say you have somebody who says, I have a friend who would be perfect for this, but she's a little apprehensive. She's not sure that she can do this. She's afraid of the change, you know, but I'll get her to come in. She wants to sit down and talk to you. How do you, not convince her, but how do you get her to agree to do this program? Like, because you know it's good for her and it's going to help her in the long run, and she's interested but scared. How do you overcome that?
Well, what I usually say to people to make them more comfortable with this idea is, you know, we're all coming into the program with different energies, different backgrounds, different reasons. But once we're all in the same room, you'll notice quickly that people come together and the energies kind of calm down. And the environment is so peaceful that they will feel comfortable. And also, I let them know that this isn't an art class where you're going to follow an example and reproduce what I'm asking you to reproduce. It's going to be your own creation, and not to worry about, you know, looking at the neighbor's piece.
Yeah.
Because you're working on yourself, and you know, nobody can have a better painting or a better sculpture than yours, you know, because it's your life, it's your own thing. So I try to explain it to them that way, that everyone has their own journey, and even if it might change things, that sometimes change is not all that scary once you take that first step.
Okay, and so they take the program. They, you know, you said you have the 8-class program. So let's just say one of these, you know, people who are apprehensive takes the eight-day workshop, and they complete it. Now, do you see a difference in them? Do you get to see do you get aha moments or things they realize about themselves along the way, or, you know, they come out of it and they feel like they're a different person, or like they do more things than they could do before, or, you know, they're ready for to evolve?
Definitely. I have given the programs, the workshops, maybe one at a time. Let's say somebody just wants to take one workshop, they've done that.
Okay.
But you definitely see a difference if they take all 8.
Okay.
Because you do them once a week or once every 2 weeks, but you have time in between to implement the things that I'm going to show you. And I have seen the people that have completed the entire series, definitely that they have made extreme changes in their life. Definitely.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a great way to do it. Doing therapy through art, like that's pretty phenomenal. I might have to take your classes myself. just to, you know, get my art on. Okay, so, and then you also do Reiki and meditation. So, and again, this is such a great little package that you have of all the things that you can do. They complement each other so well. So let's talk about the Reiki and the meditation classes that you have, or the Reiki sessions that you have in the meditation class.
Well, I decided to take UC Reiki.
Okay.
I'm at level 2 because I believe in energy. And I believe that energy flows, and that you can assist people with blockages of energy. And so I thought that I would try that. And I really enjoy that. Very much. It brings peace and relaxation to people. It brings hope in a higher power. And also, it can help you relax. It's a very big part of my life now.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so, now I've heard of Reiki. I know some people who do it. Now I have really no idea how it works or how it's done. Can you kind of explain to me a bit about what is it exactly that you do?
Well, once you get attuned to Reiki, then you're able to channel universal energy.
Okay.
So what you're doing is you're asking for your ego to step aside while you channel the universal energy through your body as a vessel into the person sitting in front of you.
So is it like getting a massage thing?
It's light touch.
Okay.
However, I don't touch at all.
Okay.
But it feels like you're getting a massage.
Wow. So you don't touch them at all, but they, and I've heard people who, like, I have friends who've, you know, taken part in Reiki, they've had Reiki sessions, and they said that they felt so relaxed after, and they felt happy, and just, you know, they, like, some people said they felt like they've been healed, and so this is pretty amazing to me. And I mean, I obviously believe in all of the stuff that you're talking about, but how do you do this without actually touching them is kind of the part that I get stuck on.
Well, if you feel the energy run through your aura, and you'll feel it move. Sometimes it feels like static, maybe. You ever got a shock on something?
Yes, I have.
It kind of feels like that, and it's moving, and you feel it. And it gets hot or cold, or you'll have different sensations.
Wow.
So it's very interesting. And people who are more visual and can meditate, they may even see things like colors or images or visions, basically.
Wow.
And sometimes people will just fall asleep because it's so relaxing.
That's crazy. I'll have to try that. Again, listen, I've got your art therapy program and I've got your Reiki. I mean, I'm not going to have any money left by the time I've done this radio show. Okay, so the meditation, did you get into that because it goes with the Reiki or?
It definitely all flows together. Meditation was something actually I was kind of afraid of. I thought I couldn't do.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, I just had the idea that meditation was, you know, a long process. You had to have all this time. You had to sit there. You had to quiet your mind. And, you know, you had to have no thought. And every time I would try to meditate, I would fall asleep. And I thought I was failing. But it took me some time to discover that, you know, that's what my body needed. That even though I meditated and fell asleep, my subconscious was still picking up what it needed and my body was healing. So I didn't have to feel bad about having fallen asleep. And another thing that I realized is that, you know, we are human and we cannot clear our minds.
No, I agree with you 100% on that. When I meditate, I'm a Gemini, for one, to start. And two, my mind never stops. So I say I'm a Gemini because anybody who has a friend who's a Gemini knows that they are thinking about a million things at once all the time. And so when I would try to meditate like you, I thought I was failing because I couldn't clear my mind. So what I learned to do was just leave all of the thoughts behind as I was going into my meditative state. So I couldn't clear them. There's no way that my mind was going to quiet. So I was kind of in the same boat you were.
Yeah, and so what I really enjoy is the mindfulness meditation, actually, because you can take those thoughts and you're to put them in a cloud and let it float away and not hang on to that thought, because that's where we have most of our issues, is we hang on to a thought and then it gets a bigger thought and then a bigger problem and then anxiety sets in and all of that. So you're constantly thinking about that one thought. And the more you think about it, the more it comes. So if you can, you know, have thoughts and just put them on a cloud and watch them float away and then have the next one, you know, and not hang on to those, that's one of the easiest tricks. Also, if you do mantra meditation, you don't have to hear any thoughts because you are repeating the same thing over and over again.
Okay.
So there's no room for thought. And I also enjoy binaural beats.
I have no idea what that is, I'll be honest with you.
Binaural beats are beats like hertz. We're all frequency. We all have frequency.
Okay.
The earth has a frequency.
Yeah.
Everything around us has a frequency. There's magnetic fields and all, you know, all kinds of things that are bombarding us all the time.
Okay.
Electronics.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so if you listen to binaural beats, they can heal or help balance your energy centers.
Okay.
So you can listen to different ones to balance yourself, which I find very interesting.
Now, what do these work like?
It's a frequency sound.
Oh.
So if you go on YouTube, for example, you can
find those on there.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Binaural beats.
Okay.
And they're very helpful. So I thought that I would, you know, I hear a lot of people saying, "Oh, I'd like to meditate, but I don't know how." So
yeah.
I decided to get certified as a meditation instructor and help beginners figure out that, you know, we can all meditate in our own way. You can meditate with your eyes open. You can meditate for 5 minutes. And if you meditate for 10 minutes a day, for example, you can reduce your stress and your anger and have better coping skills. Within a couple of weeks, you'll notice a difference.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's why I got into that.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so now for people who are interested in getting Reiki, how much do you charge for that? And how long does a session usually last?
Sessions are anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
And I am charging $30 a session.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so $30 a session. You go in there for 45 minutes to an hour and you come out feeling like a new person. Yes. Okay. So now for the meditation classes.
That if you are willing to receive the Reiki energy, you'll find more benefit.
Really? Okay. Well, wouldn't anybody who's coming in for Reiki, wouldn't they be open to receive?
Well, sometimes they're a bit apprehensive, or they're not sure what it is, or they're not sure what to expect, or even not sure if it'll work. So, you know, it might take a couple sessions for you to be comfortable with that kind of healing modality, but it certainly is dependent on how much you are willing to receive.
Okay. Well, after today's show, I'm pretty sure people are going to have a really good idea of what it is and how it works, and now that they should be open to receive. And I don't believe in doing anything unless I'm 100% open to it. You know, I did a hypnotherapy 21 days to change your mind. And if I'm going to do it, and I'd never been hypnotized before, but I figured, you know, what do I have to lose? I should give it a try. So once I make the decision that I want to try it, that I'm going to do this, I open myself up to it completely, to all possibilities, right? And it was very beneficial to me. So anybody who's listening to the show, if you're going to go in to see Luzanne LeClaire for a Reiki session, just be open to it. If you're going to go in, be open-minded, be willing to open to receive, and you'll get the best benefit right out of the gate, right?
That's right.
Okay, so for your meditation classes, do you do that in groups or one-on-one?
Meditation I am doing at my shop in a group, so it's $10 a person.
Okay.
And it's approximately 45 minutes. We do different types of meditation.
Okay.
I also do sessions online.
Okay.
On Skype.
Okay.
Perfect. Same thing. $10 a person.
Okay, so if they want to find you on Skype, how do they find you?
Just, it's under Luzanne LeClaire.
Okay, and you're on Facebook?
Yes.
You have your business. What's your business name?
Very Golden Journey.
Now spell Very for them.
V-E-R-E, Golden Journey.
Okay, so that's on Facebook. You have a website that is goldenjourney.ca.
Yes.
I learned that one the hard way when I tried to find your website. It was very frustrating. Okay, and then, so what else was I going to ask you? For your art program. So what does that cost? What does that look like?
Each session is $35. And right now, if people call in or send me an email or get a hold of me on Facebook or social media, then I will offer them the 7 sessions at $35 each. And the last session I will give them for free.
People from the radio show?
Yeah.
Okay, so you hear that? Everybody, if you call Luzanne or get in touch with her via email or her Facebook page or website or Twitter, and you tell her, hey, I heard that you were giving away this offer on the radio show, she will give you the 8th session for free. And the intuitive art therapy class for $35 a class, and you said they're roughly 2 hours, right?
Yes.
That is a steal. So you need to get on this and get in the class before she realizes how amazing this program is and bumps up the fee. So you're offering, you know, my guests a special rate. So that's something they can take advantage of if they get in touch with you, but they have to tell you that they heard you on the radio show.
That's it.
Okay. So now, Very Golden Journey, just real quick before we have to close out, where did that name come from?
Very is a Celtic word, actually,
okay.
And it means to enjoy the small things in life.
Oh, wow.
Which I had forgotten.
I think a lot of us forget that.
That's right. And Golden Journey has to do with the golden eagle. Through Native traditional ceremonies, I've learned a lot from that golden eagle. And that's why I called it the Golden Journey.
Okay. Wow, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know where to find her. You know what programs she's offering. Oh, and the trauma coaching, real quick before I start closing out. What kind of fees do you ask for the trauma coaching? What can people expect when they come to see you?
The trauma coaching is on a sliding scale.
Okay.
So dependent on what the situation is.
Okay.
But those who have listened to the radio show can enjoy 30 minutes of free consultation.
Oh, perfect.
To begin, and okay. We can go from there.
Awesome. So you get not only the 8th session free,
But you also get a free 30-minute consultation for the trauma coaching. So you need to get in touch with Suzanne. You need to take advantage of this. Okay, so we are at the last 4.5 minutes of the show. Suzanne, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today and talking about, you know, your story and what you do now.
Thank you for having me.
It was an absolute pleasure. And like I said, I'm going to have you on again. So now for me, I am, again, the relationship whisperer. And unfortunately, we all face problems in our relationship. We all have issues that we need to work on, or communication that just isn't happening. So all of these things, there's so many things that, you know, that can come into play when you're in a relationship. Now, I have myself designed an amazing relationship program. It is, I'm telling you, foolproof. So anybody who, we'll do it this way. The first 5 people who contact me and say that they heard this on the show will get 2 free 30-minute consultations, okay, where we will go over your needs, we will figure out where to start, and then a free 30-minute session, and we'll work it from there. We'll also, I'll give you a 20% discount on my fee. So if you go to www.choicecoachingcanada.com, you can contact me directly through there or email me at Katie, C-A-T-I-E, at choicecoachingcanada.com. You can find me on Facebook, Choice Coaching Canada. Send me a friend request at Katie Grand Maison, or find me on Twitter at Choice Coaching. So we have roughly 3 minutes left of the show. So I want to talk to you a bit about the radio station. So actually, what I'd like to do is pass this over to my producer, Jeffrey Miller, because he is so much better at telling everybody about this than I am. Are you there, Jeffrey?
I am now, Katie. Thank you. Awesome. Ladies, lovely show. I'm impressed. Lizanne, thank you so much for being on with Katie today. The show was absolutely fantastic. The information, folks, what a value. Wow. What you need is what you get with Lizanne, I'll tell you. Fantastic information. I'm quite familiar with a lot of what you spoke about, Lizanne. It was very, very impressive. Thank you for being on.
Thank you.
Katie, you're entirely welcome. We hope to have you on again. Katie, you were doing a wonderful job talking about the network in our last minute and a half.
Well, what I like to say about the network is if you want to make an investment in your business, in yourself, and in your future, invest in the I Am Radio TV network. Because it's not just radio and TV, it's a collection of coaches who collaborate, who work together to help each other succeed. So you're no longer, you may own your own business and it's great to be your own boss, but when you invest in something like this, you're investing in yourself, you're investing in your future, and you have a slew of coaches who are now investing in you as well. So it is the best decision I've ever made for my coaching career. And I truly believe that an investment in the I Am Radio TV network would be a good investment in your future.
Fantastic. This lady is born to do wonderful commercials. Thank you. Folks, she believes in the network is what it boils down to. Katie's also a director and a platinum partner. And we've got about a minute left. And I just wanted to say that we not only have fun, we enjoy helping and guiding others to overcome those obstacles that often you face in life. And as you said, ladies, previously, sometimes we don't know what we don't know. When you grow up that way, it's very difficult until all of a sudden something happens and you realize, wow, this is not the way my life was. So very, very good show. Very good show. Great information. And I trust all that listened and all who will listen to the replay will get massive benefit from it. So congratulations. And thank
Absolutely.
You. All right, close is yours, Katie.
All right, thanks again, everyone, for listening to my show. The next show on the network is The Hypnotic Interventionist on Thursday at 3 o'clock. Don't miss it. It's amazing. Thanks again for joining us, and we will talk to you later. Bye.